listening to On the Couch with Carly. Carly's couch is a safe space to talk. I'm a psychologist, but I'm not your pipe-smoking, tweed-wearing stereotype.
Okay, so we are starting this year imperfectly because I haven't had the time to record. And so I'm going to record my first episode while driving to work on my first day of work, which happens to be the evening of the 8th of January, 2026. I'm on my way to my first antenatal class of the year. For those of you who don't know, I have been teaching at antenatal classes in Rondebosch in Cape Town for the last, well, I think it's been about a year. And it's a very happy space for me because it feels like a real full circle moment, as it is a way for me to give back, really, at a time when, if I could rewind time, I would have needed what I am offering. So feeling of creating and delivering something that feels so needed and something that would have been so meaningful to me when I was in the position that these parents are in. So I teach just an hour class in conjunction with the nurses that teach the normal antenatal classes with all the typical things that antenatal classes involve. And in this hour class, I discuss the two most important things that I think help us to prepare and help us to have measured expectations for life after baby. And the first thing is matrescence, the idea that this process of becoming a mother is not just a simple thing and not something that we should take for granted. It is a involved process that requires a lot of thought and a lot of understanding and meaning making. And we'll go into that. And then in addition, I discuss the need for us to scaffold and be mindful of the challenges that occur between the father and the mother. So the expecting couple will get a chance to hear about some of the difficulties that arise in the relationship when you have a baby and how to navigate those challenges, but also how to prevent some of the difficulties from even happening at all. And I think if we just cover those two things, it's a good start. But really, it's also an opportunity to tell people about the Oh Baby WTF and Ready Steady Baby workshops that I have on my website, which you can download right now. They're very affordable and they give you a much more in-depth experience and process that helps you to understand the various things, the topics that I think are really important for us to be discussing. So that's where I'm off to now. And it's a bit of a drive for me to get there, so I'll have enough time for us to have a little chat. Because what I really want to chat about today is the fact that it's a new year. And I want to acknowledge that there is no way to really avoid the messages that we get at this time of year that may or may not feel like pressure, but can feel like pressure to be a new version of you, a better version of you. We all sort of come back to the drawing board and we set goals and we have vision boards and we write lists of what we would like to achieve. And sometimes we call that New Year's resolutions and sometimes we call it something else. But nevertheless, there is definitely a vibe in the air around New Year and this kind of, I don't know, this sort of leveling up that's supposed to happen, this sort of, yeah, just shift that's supposed to happen. And I think depending on who you are, you might feel that that shift is an external shift. So I think that a lot of people put pressure on themselves to get fit, to change their body type, to look a certain way, to maybe have external achievements, to work towards external achievements that they've wanted. So maybe this is your time to get a certain job or to have a certain career advancement, or maybe it's about finding a girlfriend or boyfriend or marrying someone or finally committing or finally settling down. Or there's various things that people sort of say to themselves at the beginning of the year. This is the year I'm going to do X. And sometimes it's external and has to do with other people, or wants to do with one's external appearance, one's external experience in the world. And then there's those of us who are much more interested internally in internal shifts, you know. So what are we going to be doing that's different in terms of our thoughts and our feelings and how we speak to ourselves, and what kinds of, how are we going to be more or less motivated in certain areas? Like, I guess it's New Year, so we're always going to ask how can we be more motivated. So, you know, the internal sort of shifts that might take place are things like, I don't know, anything from speaking kindly, more kindly to myself, or having better boundaries with people, or prioritizing self-care, or, you know, something like that. And these are all excellent goals. And I think, you know, really what I want to say is that every goal is a worthwhile goal. I work a lot with people who consider themselves perfectionistic. And perfectionism is such an interesting mind fuck, actually, because it's not really about greatness. We sometimes think that, you know, we have to be perfectionistic if we're going to achieve greatness. And, you know, it's all about striving for the best. If it's not 100%, it's zero and everything else. But really, perfectionism is just about being afraid of failure. And I always say to people, it's not about then saying, oh, well, fine, you know, I can't be perfect, so I'm just going to give up. I'm just going to be mediocre. Oh, it's all just pointless. I'm just going to, you know, plod on, and there's no real kind of reason to sort of strive for anything if I'm not going to be like getting it 100 out of 100. And I think that that's also a very all or nothing thinking approach, and it's very black and white. And really what I think is important to say is that all goals are useful. All endeavors are useful. Any striving is wonderful. We have to strive. We have to think of being of ourselves as productive. We have to want things, you know. We have to be looking. We have to have a hunger for something. And sometimes that requires us to sort of set something in our sights. And it can be real or imagined, you know, something that we decide is important to us. And all of that is valid. I'm all for New Year's resolutions. I'm all for people sitting down and thinking about what they want to achieve, or what they're looking for in their life, or what do they value? Even just working out what your values are for the year. You know, what am I going to prioritize? What am I going to focus my energy on? You know, what are the things that are going to be my sort of, you know, my pillars? What is going to be holding me up in this year? And just having that in mind is useful. So I'm all for that. I just want to be mindful with you about what happens in the in-between. So having a goal is fantastic. Writing a goal down is fantastic. Setting yourself a new objective is fantastic. Having a thought, even a desire for leveling up, is fantastic. Absolutely, go for it, you know. But what are we doing to ourselves when we give ourselves these sort of black and white, and literally like we're writing it down, so it's like on paper, black and white. What are we doing to ourselves when we set ourselves these goals in terms of the more qualitative stuff? Because I think it's like, okay, the goal itself, can't this, you know, surely there's something wrong with actually having goals. But how are we going to get to that goal? And what's the cost of getting to that goal? And what's the cost of not achieving that goal? Because I think that we don't think about this, but I am far more interested in the quality of your relationship with yourself than with how well you are achieving your goals. And I'll say that again. I'm just going to reemphasize, by all means, write down your goals, have goals, strive for things, desire things, want to wish to level up, take yourself to another level. I believe more important than achieving goals in this lifetime is the quality of your relationship with yourself. And by extension, with other people, but actually it all starts with your relationship with yourself. So how do I speak to myself while I'm picturing this new me? You know, have I already started comparing and judging the so-called old me? And what is that doing to myself? What does that feel like? I always come back to this question when I'm asking my clients to think about how they're speaking to themselves. And I always think to myself, always say to myself or to my clients, what would you say? Like, would you say that to a small child? Like, let's imagine you have a little kid in your car and you're driving them to school on their very first day of school. And this little kid has never done the school before. They've never been in first grade. And of course, that's a huge leveling up, right? Like, that's something that we all know is like a big deal. It's going from kindergarten to big school, right? You probably like been anticipating this for a little while. The school has been preparing them and it's a big deal. It feels big. It feels like this is the year, right? This is the year. I'm going to do things I've never done before. I'm going to be the person I've never been before. I'm going to be in the world in a way that I've never been before. And here's this little person sitting in your car. And imagine if what you were saying to them as you drove them to class, well, good thing you're never going to be in kindergarten again. That little shit was useless. You know, just focus on being in grade one. It's the only thing that matters. You have to put everything behind you, everything up your past behind you. None of that matters. None of the achievements that you made in kindergarten matter. None of those achievements are yours. None of them are who you are. Nothing that you already have in this body and in this soul right now driving to grade one is of any relevance. None of that is valuable. None of that is worthy. It's only about what you can do and achieve in grade one that actually matters. So I hope you're picking up what I'm putting down here, but there's no way that we could speak to a grade one like that. There's no way that is a safe and healthy and constructive message to give to someone who is embarking on a leveling up, on a new you, right? New year, new you. Like, we don't need to diss or judge or compare to the old you. And that's my biggest gripe with New Year's and New Year's resolutions and the whole message of new year, new you. It's a real rejection of the old, of what was, what, you know, what's kind of, I guess, on the lower level of you. And I just don't really like that. I think that there might be ways in which that is true. I think there might be ways in which there is truth to the fact that once we've leveled up, the old version of us that maybe wasn't leveled up in that same way, like, we don't need it and we can walk away from it and we can let it go, really. That doesn't mean we have to be rude or nasty or dismissive or belittle that part of us that is no longer serving us, is no longer with us today. I think that there's a lot of messages around, like, I don't know, you've probably seen the trend on Instagram and TikTok where it's like in and out, right? Like what's in with the new year and out with the, you know, with the new year. And that trend is cool because it gives us like inspiration to think about like where we're going and what we're leaving behind. And the idea of leaving things behind is, I think, spiritually quite meaningful. I think it's energetically meaningful. I think there's something about that, the sort of feeling, the empowerment of like, I'm leaving that behind. I don't need it. It doesn't serve me. All of that is empowering. However, just notice when that feeling of empowerment switches to a kind of bullying, really a self-bullying of like, okay, now that I'm big and improved, I'm looking down on my small loser self from the past and shitting on top of its head. You know, I'm just very aware of the pitfalls of that, which is actually when we do that, we're setting up a dynamic in our minds that there is a good version and a bad version. And what that really actually does, it doesn't necessarily motivate us. It doesn't necessarily help us achieve our goals. It doesn't necessarily mean that we're more comfortable in meeting our goals or that we feel more, empowered in meeting our goals. What it actually does is it breeds shame. Because now I've set myself up to fail. And I've set myself up to feel shame because I've decided that any behaviors or any articulation of myself in the quote unquote old way is bad, is less than, is lowly. And in so doing, I create opportunities for myself to shame myself because here's the thing. We are gonna, even if we do achieve our goals, even if we are going to get there in the end, the road is not necessarily going to be linear. And the path there is not necessarily going to be a straight line from A to B, wah, wah, right? It can be one step forward, two steps back. It can be circular, spiraling closer and closer to the goal. But every time you kind of come back to what isn't maybe the goal, and then you return, right? So if we allow ourselves to see things more like that, where both versions of ourselves are valid, both versions of ourselves, or maybe should I say all versions of ourselves are valid, all versions of ourselves are beautiful, lovable, wonderful, right? Here's my little grade one in the car. And I'm so excited for grade one for you, honey, right? Like, I'm so excited for the achievements that you're going to make this year. I'm so excited for the goals you've set. I'm so excited that you think you're going to be that person who's going to be that cool and do those cool things, right? Like, we have to feel that energy of like, this is exciting. This is growth. This is big. This is cool. I want to go towards it. I'm in the car. I'm driving you. I'm excited for you. It's grade one. It's such a big deal. You're big now. That's so cool. And you're no better than you were last year. You're no more worthy of my love. You're no more acceptable, lovable. You are, to me, just as wonderful as you've always been. And isn't that just such a lovely message to start the year with? Rather than it's this or else you suck, right? Like either you achieve these goals or you're going backwards into boo-boo time. Like you're regressing into like lowly self that doesn't have any credentials. Rather to say like, I'm so excited for this growth. I'm going to support you. I'm going to help you put these things into action. I'm going to think about all the ways I can make your dreams come true. Like I'm here for you. I'm here for this like achievement mindset. I'm here for this growth mindset. I want you to do better. I want you to have these goals, to reach for these dreams, to succeed in these ways. And succeeding in these ways is not what we require for evidence that you are worthy. You're great right now. You're wonderful right now. You're as lovable, as meaningful to me, as acceptable, as dignified, whatever flipping adjective you want to put in there. Right now, as you will be in whenever you achieve those goals, 5 months, 6 months, 10 months, 12 months, right? So the goals are not a means to an end. The goals themselves are the end, right? Like just enjoy the process of getting to those goals. That's going to be cool. But you don't have to feel like your little heart is on the line And that there's this version of reality where you fuck it up and you don't meet your goals and you don't level up and you don't become the new and improved version that you've set yourself out to be. And it's okay, right? It's okay to just get it right, get it wrong, do it, don't do it. You're fine no matter what. And I think that if we can talk to ourselves like that at the beginning of the year right now, where we're like, you know, I think we have the highest expectations right now. We have the, you know, the biggest hope and the biggest anticipation. We've yet to prove ourselves right or wrong in being able to achieve these goals. And so there's a real sort of holding one's breath moment of like, okay, let's see, we're going to do it. And I think if we try at this stage, while we're still hopeful of achieving these goals, while we're still dreaming into the future, while we're still imagining new versions of ourselves, if we can keep using the language of good enough and lovable and worthy with ourselves, and we can still talk to ourselves as if we are the sweet little kids that we are in the car, looking forward to this new adventure, this new experiment, this new opportunity, and just being like there for ourselves, right? Like instead of holding our breath and going like, okay, is this it? Are you going to do it? I'm waiting for you. Like, let's see. Can you hack it? Right? Like, instead of being in that role with ourselves, where there is certainly an option of feeling immense amounts of shame, because if I don't get it right, I suck. If I don't get it right, I'm a loser. All of that sort of talk. Instead, we're like, you've got this. I'm rooting for you. I want to help you achieve your goals. And it doesn't really matter whether you do or don't, because you're good. I've got you. This is going to be fine. You're safe here. You're safe here. So practically speaking, like, because this is all quite esoteric and conceptual, but like practically speaking, I want you to think about adding some, I guess you could add it to your goals or resolutions, which is that you think of some phrases that feel meaningful to you. Cause like everybody's different. Everybody gets sort of, I don't know, everybody connects to or gets inspired by or is moved by different words, different ideas, different sentiments. So I want you to think about what it is for you. What are the words that you can think of? Like maybe a couple of phrases. It can be one, it can be two, it can be more. Phrases that remind you of the energy of that parent in the car who's supportive, who's loving, who's accepting, who doesn't make you feel like you better fucking achieve this year or else, but instead makes you feel, I love you, baby. You don't have to do anything to prove anything to me. Like you are the best by just being you. And I'm rooting for you to have the best, most exciting adventure this year where you feel like you can grow and achieve and do wonderful things out in the world. So what phrase would bring that together for you? And then I want you to think of writing those phrases down in strategic places. So one such place could be on a post-it on the fridge. I particularly like putting post-its on the bathroom mirror because that's something you visit every day when you brush your teeth, or on your laptop. When you open your laptop, you'll see that note, and so it will remind you. The other really good thing to do would be if you have like a diary or a journal, to write it in sporadically on different pages throughout the year. Things that would just like surprise you when you wake, you open to that page and you get that message. And I want it to be part of this journey that you're on, of whether you call it self-improvement or whether you call it just, you know, goal setting, Can you include messages of support and encouragement that allow you to sink into that feeling of worthiness? Because that is actually what we need more than anything, is we need to trust. We need to trust in a kind of relational safety that we should get from our caregivers. But if we don't get that from our care, if we don't get it from our caregivers, we can get it from others. And if you have a partner, maybe you get it from your partner or get it from your teachers or other community members, friends. But you can give it to yourself. And we actually spend most of our lives in relationship to ourselves. And everything that we experience is experienced through the lens or the prism of our relationship to ourselves. So if you work on one thing, and it's the relationship that you have with your own self, you will find that a lot of other things in your life will fall into place. And what we really want to feel in relationship is safe, seen, appreciated, loved, held, cherished, cared for, and that we're good enough, right? And you can do that right now. And you can continue to do that throughout this year. And you can continue to give yourself that message that it can be in tandem or, you know, running parallel to your goals that you've set for yourself, that you don't have to hold your breath and wait to be better in order to be loved, in order to feel safe, in order to feel good enough. You can remind yourself that you are all those things right now, and that you have the power to deliver that message to yourself, to feed yourself that nurturance, that nourishment of, I guess, like the feeling of being loved, of being safe, of being secure. Then you also have the power to grant yourself that feeling, to feed yourself, to give to yourself in that way. And that you can do that in such a way that this goal setting that happens at the beginning of the year, that these hopes and these dreams and these ambitions and these, yeah, all these goals that we set for ourselves are there and are useful and are valid, but are not things that we have to achieve in order so that we can feel safe and secure in the world. That's all I've got for you today. I wish you happy 2026. Thank you for joining me in my car. Thank you for joining me on this podcast. I'm so happy that you're listening and hope to continue to offer you meaningful content this year. Stay in touch. Take care. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to On the Couch with Carly. If something in this episode resonated with you or made you feel less alone, that means the world to me. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and now in video format on YouTube. For exclusive content and resources, visit our website at onthecouchwithcarly.com. If you enjoyed today's conversation, please consider leaving a rating or review. It really does help others discover our safe space for authentic conversation. Until next time, please take good care of yourself. I can't wait to be back on the couch with you again.